Welcome to Relationships 2.0 with author and clinical psychologist Michelle Skeen. Michelle and her guests will endeavor to guide you through the pathways for self-understanding that'll help you create and maintain safe and healthy relationships. You can find Michelle on the internet at michelleskeen.com. Now the host of Relationships 2.0, Michelle Skeen.
Welcome to Relationships 2.0. One of my favorite guests, and actually I haven't had her on for a while, but Margaret Floyd has been on my show maybe five times. And I asked her to come back to discuss ways that she can help us with food over the holidays and maybe goals that we have for the new year, and also how to just handle the holidays and the stress that always accompanies them. And Margaret, last time she spoke to me, she was living in Los Angeles, and now she's living in Portland with her chef husband, her daughter, and they're expecting another baby really soon. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, and let me say quickly that your website is eatnakednow.com, and
it is.
Margaret has... Is it still two books?
Yeah.
I keep waiting for that third book to drop, but two books, one's a cookbook and one is her Eat Naked book, which informed my life and my food. And now I have sons who are post college, and they buy eggs from pasture-raised chickens. They've got the whole thing down. I mean, and all of that came to me from you starting like 4 years ago. And it's so great to know that you're making healthy food choices and that your children are as well when they're no longer under your wing. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. I hope that my children follow in that suit. So far, so good. But she's only three, so.
I know, but that Instagram post was so funny because I remember about the cake. And keeping your daughter off of sugar for a long time. And I had done that with my sons. They were the firstborn. I definitely got more lax with my daughter since the boys were 4 years older, but not having, you know, them not having any sugar or candy or any of that kind of stuff. I didn't introduce it until I was doing the potty training, and then it was like this big treat. But tell the story about your daughter, because it's just so classic.
Yeah, it was really funny. So she's 3.5 now. She's had occasional treats. We gave her first ever cake, but it was one that my husband, you know, who's a chef, he made it. So it's very low sugar, very controlled in terms of the ingredients. She had that on her second birthday. And it was actually really funny at that time. She gave us this look like, what have you been holding out on me? You know, just sort of like, wow.
So she even liked the healthy version of the cake, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this child, she thinks supplements that are, you know, she takes these, like, honestly, they're the nastiest things you've ever tasted. They're these fish oil little capsules that are supposed to taste like strawberries or something like this. She thinks those are candy. I mean, I can barely get them down, and she just loves them. So she's definitely got a different palate. And that was very conscious on our part. This past weekend, it was my husband's birthday, and we did indulge in some straight-up, and they were gluten-free, but they were straight-up cupcakes, very sugar-laden. And she was just absolutely intent. I mean, she sat there with the most crazy focus you've ever seen, and she ate her cupcake.
It's a trance.
And then,
it's a sugar trance.
It really is. And, of course, there was a lot of tears when she realized she couldn't have the second one that night. But I did say, well, you can have another one tomorrow, because I knew there was going to be a couple left over. And so the next morning, an early riser, she normally gets up between 7:30 and 8. And I think it was like 6 or 6:30. She bounced out of bed and came running downstairs. Daddy, 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 can I have a cupcake? so funny.
Sugar addiction is real. I mean, it's real what happens to our brains when we eat it. And I don't think it helps that all of those baked goods and candy, they're so pretty.
You know, that's a good point. I hadn't actually thought about that, but it's true. They are so visually appealing, especially cupcakes. I mean, the things that they do on top of cupcakes now, it's art.
Oh, no, it's just fabulous. Yeah. And I went to that, after you posted that photo, I went to the website of the bakery where you got it from. But, well, have you ever been in a candy store? I mean, candy stores are gorgeous. They have these glass jars that are filled with all of these colorful treats. I mean, I get into kind of like a zombie mode when I see stuff like that. It's just, and looking at baked goods, I mean, it's amazing. So I think it's, but, you know, one of the reasons I wanted you to tell that story is because, and I don't mean to get sidetracked on this, but it's just, highlights how addictive all of that stuff is, that even someone who's had, your daughter who thinks that like a green juice is a sweet treat, then has like this real thing and recognizes it as, is immediately attracted to it. It's all,
Interesting.
It's evolutionary.
It is evolutionary, and it's very much biochemical in terms of what the pleasure sensors that it's triggering in our brain.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, we kind of say casually, oh, sugar's a drug, but no, it actually really is a drug.
Yeah.
And it has never been this widely available. We are exactly, as you said, evolutionarily, we are designed to seek out things that are sweet, because if you think about it, you know, let's say, you know, and especially when you go back to hunter-gatherer times,
right,
you know, we would be in a place where we would have to go through literally feast or famine. There would be times where we would need to survive not just hours, but days, sometimes, you know, weeks without food. And so our bodies are designed to crave slightly sweeter things, because that actually creates a fat storage situation, which is really critical in those types of environments. And evolutionarily, we haven't changed. You know, biologically, we are still wired to be hunters and gatherers.
Right.
But then there was no candy. You know, even things like bananas and apples and, you know, berries, these fruits that now, I mean, even just taste the difference between a wild blueberry and a commercially produced blueberry, you know, from a commercial farm. The wild blueberry is really sour and tart. And the blueberry, you know, the big, plump, juicy, sweet thing. We've hybridized all of these foods to be even sweeter, even in real food. Bananas, you know, you eat sort of the original bananas. They're disgusting. It's kind of bland, starchy. You kind of choke on them going down. It's certainly nothing like this sweet, creamy loveliness that we have now.
Yeah.
So it's just our food supply has completely changed.
Yeah.
While our biology hasn't. And that's one of the things that sets us up for a really challenging situation.
Right. Which is why I should also mention to people, you have a great sugar detox program, which I've done before, and, you know, lost 10 pounds. The other thing that I read also is that back in the hunter-gatherer days, that anything that was bitter was poisonous. And so that was just kind of the way that, we determined, you know, our forefathers determined that our ancestors determined not that they shouldn't eat it, is it tastes bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be poisonous. So we know cupcakes taste good and so does candy. Quickly before we move on to, one of the things that you want to discuss, if you're making the choice to have a baked good, is it better, even if you don't have celiac disease or gluten intolerance, although you could argue everyone has a gluten intolerance, is it best to get gluten-free when you can?
You know, I'm going to give you a really unsatisfactory answer of it depends. You know,
okay.
It really, so a lot of people are sensitive to gluten. But the thing with gluten-free products, especially commercial ones, and I would bet that even this bakery that we went to, which is a very good bakery, but in order to achieve the kind of texture and, you know, flavor properties that we are used to with traditional baked goods, there's so many different fillers and starches and things that they're added in that are really, you know, they're not causing the same reaction as gluten in your body, but they're not innocuous either. So it's kind of like, you know, should you go for an organic cupcake or a non-organic cupcake? Well, it has the benefit that those ingredients are organic, but it doesn't mean that it's good for you necessarily. So it's just an important thing to remember. We get kind of lured into these labels, and it's important to remember that when something is gluten-free, that's what it is. It's gluten-free. It doesn't necessarily
make it sugar-free or healthy for you.
No.
Yeah, I mean, some of the gluten-free products that aren't actually like dessert type things, it seems like they have to put a lot of sugar in it to make up for the lack of gluten, when something that has gluten wouldn't have sugar in it when it's not a dessert product. I'm talking about like just like a bread or something. It seems like there's more sweetening stuff that goes into it. So if you're not doing it because you can't have gluten, just be careful that you're not, you know, choosing the evil stepsister of the, you know, gluten product, right, in this gluten-free product.
That's exactly it. And ultimately, that's why my biggest message is it's the best if you can make it yourself, because you can make an awesome gluten-free cupcake. In fact, we have recipes for them in our cookbook, the Naked Foods Cookbook. We have an amazing chocolate cupcake recipe in there that's totally gluten-free. And, you know, my husband is an absolute stickler for this. You know, I'll kind of bend the rules a little bit sometimes to get, like, a certain quality, but he will just recipe test and recipe test and recipe test until he is able to achieve exactly what he wants without any of those fillers or, you know, unnecessary starches. So, you know, if you can make these things yourself, you find a recipe that really is good and one that you like, when you make it yourself, that really is the best option of all of them, because you can have that treat. It can be absolutely delicious. It can be gluten-free so that you're not getting those negative effects of gluten. And you can also avoid all of the fillers that are normally added into commercial goods. So that would be my number one recommendation. But, you know, I went out and bought cupcakes. You know, there's times where it's just not feasible for you to do your own baking or what have you. So, you know, and that's kind of a piece of it. This is actually a good segue into the whole holiday thing. I think it's really important that we want to be mindful about this stuff, and we want to not just sort of get shit, you know, throw up our hands and say, well, whatever, I'm having a sweet, so I'm going to have the worst thing out there, and I'm just going to go for it. All of my health goals are out the window. I mean, that's an extreme that I see a lot of people go to. But the other extreme that I also see people go to is this, like, I can't have anything, you know, and this really strict, rigid, inflexible way of approaching their food. And that's not any better, because we live in a world that has cupcakes. If you told me I could never have another one of Kyra's cupcake, I'd be upset.
Yeah. And the holidays are, I mean, maybe everyone doesn't love this time of year, but I really do. I love the decorations. I love the lights. I love all of the treats that, just because they're so pretty and festive, and, you know, it just feels like a great, it's just a great time of year. I feel like I know it's really hard on a lot of people and that it's really stressful, but I feel like people are just a little more festive, and so I really love it. But there are lots and lots of temptations.
There are temptations everywhere. And I think the message that I really want people to go home with is that really indulgence should be just that. It should be a real indulgence. And I think the issue with the issues that people come up with are when it becomes mindless. So I'll just give you an example. So our realtor sent us this basket full of like crazy sugar treats, gorgeous, beautiful basket that is sitting in our kitchen. And I'm just like anybody else, you know, if it's there, I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat it.
Right, right.
But I have found myself multiple times kind of going for the basket. And then what I've taught myself to do, and I wouldn't call this willpower. This is just taking a moment to stop, take mm-hmm. a breath, and check in.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling myself, no, you may not have any of that. I'm stopping and I'm asking myself, do I really want those chocolates right now? And honestly, most times the answer is no. The answer is, you know what, I'm actually really tired and I need a nap and a break from my work. Or right. I really just need a cup of hot tea. Or I actually am hungry, but when I check in and think, well, how will that feel in my body?
Mm-hmm.
I realize that it's going to taste really good, but I'm going to feel disgusting immediately afterwards, and I don't want to feel that way. And
right.
so it doesn't become about willpower. It just is about being mindful.
And when you're mindful, you can make choices that are more rational and less impulsive
totally.
And emotion-based.
Totally. And it also means that when you do choose to indulge, because it's not like I'm never going to have those treats.
Right.
But
the
when I do choose to have them, yeah, right, I'm going to enjoy every little drop out of it. So it's not like I'm just sort of guiltily stuffing chocolate in my mouth while I'm working and feeling badly about myself and then feeling sick and kind of spinning into this cycle. I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to, like, unpackage it and look at the beauty of the packaging. I'm going to taste that chocolate and really taste it and savor it and basically milk that indulgence for everything it's got, because I don't do it that often, so I really want to get every little last drop out of it. And when you do that, there's not that same temptation to eat the whole box, you know? You get so much more pleasure and satisfaction out of just being aware and not missing the moment. So in many ways, it comes down to being present, because we are actually biologically wired for pleasure. And so if we deny ourselves that pleasure, it ends up being this sort of battle. We're going to actually feel like we need to eat more, because the body is looking for the pleasure. And one of the key ways we get pleasure is through food. So it's not wrong to get pleasure from food. It's just, if you're going to get pleasure from food, get pleasure from food, you know, like really enjoy it.
Yeah. I think everyone, I love your suggestion, and I think it's great, and everyone can take that information and use that. That works for everyone. And then I think people have to come up with their own kind of, you know, maybe internal rules about stuff. One of the things, because you and I have talked about this a lot before, but I have, you know, if I start eating sugar, it's hard to stop. I don't have a lot of control. You know, it's definitely my drug. So one of the things that, one of the ways I restrict myself or put boundaries around it is that I won't have it until post dinner. It's not something I'm going to have in the middle of the day. It's not something I'm going to have on an empty stomach. I'm going to wait until I've had, you know, like my protein and my vegetables for dinner. And then if I'm choosing to have something sweet, it's after I've put something nutritious in my body. And that makes a difference for me. Then I can't eat nearly as much, and it's not starting at the beginning of the day and just spiraling out of control for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I agree. I think that's a great strategy.
I mean, I can't start with a sugary thing in the morning. I mean, it's just a setup for not a great day in terms of, you know, nutritious food. But I think that, you know, you're highlighting something that I was thinking about, how stressful the holidays are because there's so much to do and it's so hectic. But there is this so that's a layer of stress. But then another layer of stress is the constant temptation and trying to figure out how to enjoy it without needing to lose 20 pounds at the end of it and just letting,
right.
you know, letting yourself go crazy, because there are so many treats around, savory and sweet, that we normally don't have. A lot more parties, a lot more get-togethers. After that Thanksgiving weekend, I was so bogged down, and I don't know how many years this is going to have to go on, that for some reason that day is just, it's so food heavy in a way that the other holidays just aren't for me. And because maybe it's because there are just so many leftovers around, and it's just such an enormous meal. But I really felt like after that weekend, I needed a big detox.
Well, so there's a couple things, and you've mentioned some really important points here. I think it was a more balanced breakfast, and not something that's going to convert quickly to sugar. So things like eggs, I'm a big fan of like eggs and veggies
always
for breakfast.
Always.
You know, more on the protein side of things than on the starch side of things. So I'm not a big fan of the, you know, toast or cereal or, you know, even like pancakes and those kinds of things. If I'm going to do them, we have actually a recipe up for grain-free waffles on our website. And it's really egg-heavy. You know, there's a lot of protein in those. And so that, and it's made with like coconut flour, so it's not starchy in that same way. So starting off that way. Also, something I've been doing a lot is, you know, in the winter season, especially here now that I'm a little further north and it's actually cold, you know, I'm a big believer in starting off the day with a nice hot drink. So I actually now start off my morning with about 24 ounces, so it's about 3 full cups of hot water with lemon, a pinch of sea salt, and a spoonful of coconut oil. And that is such a balancing way to start your day, where you're hydrating, you are, you know, the pinch of sea salt gives you a bunch of those little electrolytes that you need, and you're the most dehydrated day. You're getting all those good bioflavonoids from the lemon, some vitamin C in there, and it's warm and soothing. It primes the digestion, and it's also very alkalinizing in your system, so it's helping to balance out and offset, you know, any of the more acidifying foods, like the sweet treats. So it's, you can do these kinds of things. You know, how you start your day is going to make a huge influence on the rest of the day. If you start your day off with a piece of toast, a cup of coffee, and a big glass of juice, then you are setting yourself up for a blood sugar spike first thing, which means that you're going to have a blood sugar crash, which means you're going to crave sugar at like 10:30 in the morning, you know.
And
the treat you talked about after dinner, I think starting your day appropriately is really important. I think also continuing some of the basic self-care things that we do. I'm not quite sure why, and it's partly the busyness, but I think there's also an element in this season of just kind of like throw it all out the window, you know, let's just go for it. And, you know, people stop going to the gym, they stop going running, they stop doing those things that are so important to take care of yourself, and they kind of push it off to January 1st, you know?
Right.
And I would encourage people to really continue that stuff as much as possible. You know, go outside, get some exercise, sleep. That's such a big part of this time of year. You know, there's not nearly as much light. Our bodies are needing and craving more sleep naturally at this time of year. So,
I mean, when it gets dark this early, my daughter, who's at college, she called me yesterday. And, you know, it gets dark so early now. And she said, okay, well, I'm going to go to bed. And I said, me too. And she started laughing. She's on the East Coast. And she said, wait, you're going to bed now? I said, I don't know. It seems so late. You know, but it does feel like my body wants to sleep more. And I just want to go back quickly before you continue to the drink that you have to start your day, then that coconut oil is really important for brain health and function, and also for stabilizing your blood sugar, correct?
You bet. And the beautiful thing about coconut oil is it's actually what we call a medium chain triglyceride, which is just, it's a specific type of fatty acid that doesn't need to be processed by your liver. And most fats need to be actually processed into by your liver. And this one basically goes straight into energy. It's a much faster process. So it actually gives you an energy boost, which is more similar to what you would get from a starch, but you don't have that blood sugar effect of a spike and a crash. So it's just a great way to start off your day. It's also very anti-inflammatory.
Right.
It's got all that good lauric acid in there, which is actually antibacterial. I mean, it's just, this is kind of like the super drink to start off your day. And it's so simple. It's so simple.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear about that, because I had, I think I even maybe tweeted you about it, that I was doing the, like the bulletproof coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
And that I was asking you what you thought of it, of course, with the, you know, coconut oil, which is this like super high grade, that's something like 30 times or the whatever, and doesn't have a flavor. And then the grass fed unsalted butter and all of that, and asking you, you know, what you thought of that. But I really love, but that's with coffee, but I really love the idea of the lemon juice with the oil and the hot water. That's so great. I'm going to start doing that tomorrow morning. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Let me know how you like it. I think you'll find your body will really, it's a beautifully soothing and nurturing way to start your day.
Oh, it sounds terrific. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue with your thoughts on things we can do to make this a great time of year for us and continue that into the new year. You're listening to Relationships 2.0. My special guest, Margaret Floyd. You can find out more about her by going to eatnakednow.com.
When you don't receive an immediate response to a text, email, or voicemail, do you become clingy or demanding when you feel someone pulling away? Do you stay in unhealthy relationships because it's better than being alone? Or do you avoid relationships altogether? If you answer yes to any of these questions, you may struggle with fear of abandonment. This fear can trigger intense feelings of jealousy and anxiety that result in unhelpful behaviors that ultimately sabotage your relationships. Psychologist Michelle Skeen's powerful book, Love Me, Don't Leave Me, will help you develop a new perspective about yourself and others, and you will learn to recognize and change the behaviors that are hurting your relationships. You deserve to have closer, loving, and lasting connections. To find out how, go to www.michelleskeen.com. That's www.michelleskeen.com.
America's wounded warriors are coming home. After serving on foreign shores, these brave men and women are returning to their families and communities. Many have wounds you can see, and many have wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. Now that these warriors are back home, they are ready to enter the civilian workforce. To help, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a career counseling service that helps warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. These extraordinary men and women bring proven world-class job skills and a unique perspective on teamwork to the job. And to ensure the right warrior finds the right job, Wounded Warrior Project works with employers to find just the right match. When you hire a wounded warrior, you hire an intelligent, talented, and committed new employee. Contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
Do you tend to overreact and let your emotions rule your interactions with others? Do you become defensive or find it difficult to see things from another's point of view? You're not alone. Despite the fact that we all have to deal with people in our daily lives, many of us have difficulties with interpersonal relationships. My suggestion? Pick up a copy of the Interpersonal Problems Workbook. This workbook combines powerful evidence-based techniques for strengthening relationships in all areas of your life, whether it's at home or work, with a significant other, a parent, or your child. To find out more about the Interpersonal Problems Workbook, go to www.michelleskeen.com. That's www.michelleskeen.com. pick up a copy, and improve your relationships.
And now back to Relationships 2.0 with your host, Dr. Michelle Skeen.
Physiologically, absolutely a killer. It will make you retain weight. It will exacerbate food cravings. It slows down your digestion. It increases cholesterol levels. I mean, the list of stresses is long. So really acknowledging that this time of year, it's so important to get more sleep than you normally are. It sounds like a really simple thing, and it is simple, but it doesn't mean it's easy to do, but it can have a really profound effect.
Absolutely. And I think that, the whole metabolism thing, huge. And also, it's just more difficult for people to handle their emotions when they're depleted. And the holiday season is an emotional time anyway. For a lot of people,
exactly.
You know, they're often around people who trigger a lot of uncomfortable feelings, and you want to be able to handle that as well as possible. So, yeah, sleep is definitely key. What are other things go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say one other thing, just to build on that, is that the hormones that regulate your appetite and satiety, when you are satiated and still full, are produced while you sleep. So you will reset your body's appetite and satiation mechanisms by getting enough sleep. If you're sleep deprived, those mechanisms aren't working on your side, and you're going to feel hungrier, and it's going to take a lot more to fill you up. So hormonally, it's really important as well.
Lots of really good reasons.
Other things that you can do, so this is a really important time of year to be thinking about your immune system as well. So, you know, I already mentioned starting off the day with that hot lemon drink. That's another reason actually for sleep as well. Making sure that you're staying really well hydrated throughout the day. I'm a big believer in bone broth. So this is a great time of year. You know, it's a little hard to drink bone broth when it's, you know, scorching hot outside.
Yeah.
But this time of year, you know, it's kind of cozying up, and a big old mug of bone broth is so good for your immune system. And it's, again, really alkalinizing in your system. It's interesting, you know, all of these things, the things that help with stress are the things that support your immune system, or the things that help to alkalinize you, or the things that sort of offset the damage that sugar does. So all of these things kind of dovetail together really nicely. And I'd also say things like, you know, think about supporting your body from, like, this is the time to make sure you're continuing to take, you know, your multivitamin, and I would definitely throw in some probiotics, again, for that immune-boosting support. I'd be thinking about a little bit of extra vitamin D. I'd be making sure you're taking some kind of fish oil, you know, maybe a little cod liver oil if you're up for that. Really good immune-boosting properties.
And there are some great omega oils out there now that don't have the, you know, like in the old days, taking it, then you burped fish for the rest of the day, it seemed like. But now there are some that aren't fishy. I know. Yeah, I take one that's not fishy. My kids take it too. You mentioning about the probiotics. I was thinking about, you a couple of months ago. I was reading that new book called Brainmaker by the doctor who wrote Grain Brain.
Mm-hmm.
Perlmutter.
Yeah, Dr. David Perlmutter.
Yeah. And he was talking about, you know, what I feel like you've been talking about for a long time, but about having the fermented products. And I know that you make your own and that you have recipes on your website. And I think, are they in the Eat Naked cookbook as well?
They are. They're in both places.
Yeah. And now I've noticed that there are a lot of them in, say, a store like Whole Foods, where they have in the refrigerated section where normally you'd find, you know, where they have the salsa and guacamole and stuff like the fresh salsa and guacamole. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts for people on, obviously, it's always ideal to make as much as you can, but when people are short on time or just aren't inclined to do that, are there things that people should be looking for if they're buying those packaged?
Absolutely. It's actually really nice because it's still, for the most part, quite a cottage industry. So, you know, what's available on the shelves of my Whole Foods is going to be very different of what's available on the shelves of your Whole Foods, because it's still something that tends to be these very small local producers, which means that it is a much safer thing to get, because it's when you really scale things up to sort of mass industrial scale that people start to cut corners. So the key things that you want to look for is you want to look for them exactly as you said in the refrigerated section. You want to make sure that they have been, that they have not used vinegar in the fermenting process, because vinegar is a fermented food, but it's a whole different mechanism, and it doesn't have the same sort of beneficial bacteria as probiotic. It doesn't have the same effects and the same health benefits.
Okay.
So you can buy pickles, for example, that are pickled with vinegar. Or you can buy pickles that have been pickled through a more natural fermentation process that takes longer, which is why commercially it's not done as often. A great brand for that is Bubby's. Bubby's makes some great pickles, and those are all...
Oh, okay. Those are okay.
They're great, yeah. And just to look on the label and make sure that there's no vinegar added. And most of the time, there will be things like the words raw, the words... sometimes lacto-fermented, sometimes just cultured.
Okay.
Sometimes it will say naturally fermented. But these are all things that you won't find, you know, on the jar of sauerkraut that is been, you know, has been cooked and that, where they've used lots of vinegar and things in the non-refrigerated section.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter what vegetables. I mean, there's so many different types. You know, I just use a variety of it. And it's wonderful that there's such a surge in this now. You know, fermented foods and bone broth. I feel like I've been talking about these things for years. And
you have.
People used to look at me sideways. Yeah.
No,
and
the fermented foods
are trendy.
I know. Well, what's so funny about the fermented foods is that when you were talking about them, when we first talked about them, I think you had like a link on your website that was like someone was doing it in their home. It would, right? And you could, you know, like it wasn't easy to find. I think you were getting them from, you were making them yourself, but you were saying, oh, you'd see them at the farmer's market where people had made small batches and stuff. But yeah, now there are a number of different brands. So that's good to know. Now that, make sure there's no vinegar in it. And I'm glad to know about Bubby's. I have some of their dill pickle relish in my refrigerator. And I always look to, you want to make sure they haven't added any sugar or anything, right?
Yeah, definitely want to make sure that there's no added sugar. There's no need for that. And often you'll just see on the ingredients, normally what you'll find is the list of vegetables and then either a little bit of sea salt or like a celery juice as a brine.
Right.
And those are that basically sort of the fermenting medium, and that's all that's required. Sometimes you'll see that they use a little bit of culture starter, but just as long as it's not, as you said, no sugar and definitely no vinegar. And it's actually pretty easy because those ones that are in the refrigerated section, they're in there because they haven't used vinegar. So pretty much if it's in the refrigerated section, you're fine.
So when you make it at home, can you quickly say, like, is that a hassle? I mean, do you think I could do that, or...
You can absolutely do it. It's one of those things that it kind of depends on how you do it. So I'll just explain the way to make a basic sauerkraut. So that you take a head of cabbage, and the fast way to do it is if you have a food processor, you chop it up into the food processor. Now don't let it get too fine, but you know, I like big old chunks, so I actually do it by hand.
Right.
But you can either chop it up in your food processor or by hand. And then I like to use a culture starter, and because it just creates a little bit more predictability in terms of results. You know, these are living foods, kind of like wine. You know, it's living. It's always changing. And so there's an element of unpredictability about it.
Okay.
And
you can just find a culture starter at the store?
Well, here's a really cool trick. Get a good quality yogurt, not Greek yogurt, but regular yogurt. Ideally organic. And you know how when you've taken a spoonful of yogurt out, when you put it back in the fridge, you take it out the next day, and there's that clear liquid?
The juice, yeah.
Yeah, so that liquid, that's whey. So basically what you can do is you can take, now this doesn't take time, it takes physical time, but not your time. So what you can do is before you go to bed at night, line a sieve with a tea towel, a clean tea towel, or a dish towel, and put a big old tub of yogurt into it and put that whole contraption over top of a bowl so that what will happen is that clear liquid will strain out through the dish towel into the bowl underneath. And you leave it on your counter, you come back the next morning, and you have a bowl full of whey, and you have the yogurt that's left over. It's basically kind of like a Greek yogurt. Or, you know, you can think of it as like a cultured cream cheese. It's going to be a lot thicker than your regular yogurt, but still totally yummy. You can use it either just plain. You can add stuff to it, make a dip. I mean, there's lots of stuff you can do with it. But that whey is a great culture starter, and it's, you know, easy, cheap, lasts for months in your fridge. And what you do is you've got that head of cabbage all chopped up. You add a tablespoon full of sea salt. And then maybe 2 to 4 tablespoons of that whey. And then if you have used the food processor, you don't need to use this step because it will release a lot of the juices already. But you do need to make sure that the juices from the cabbage have been released. So because I hand chop it, I then take a big old, I can't remember if it's the mortar or the pestle, the part that you hammer with.
Oh, okay.
I take that and I pound the cabbage for a couple of minutes. So that can take a bit of time. I'll tell you, kids love doing it. So my daughter will get right in there and do it with me.
That's adorable.
It's awesome. And you just want to make sure that the juices from the cabbage have been released. And then you pack it into a big old mason jar. And you want to make sure you really pack it in there. You know, like use either it's either the mortar or the pestle, I can never remember which. Whichever one it is, use that to kind of really push it down, or use the end of a spoon or that, you know, something like that to make sure it's really pushed down and so that the juices are a little bit on top of the cabbage. You don't want the cabbage by itself to be exposed to the air. You want the juices to be above the cabbage by about a half an inch.
Okay.
And you also want to make sure that there's about an inch between the top of the juice and the jar. Lid on the jar, and then you leave it for 3 to 5 days, depending on the weather. Shorter if it's hotter, longer if it's cooler.
Okay.
And you leave it at room temperature, and then you're done. So it's a process for me to explain it to you. I've got videos and recipes and all this stuff on my website, but once you've done it a couple times, it goes much faster. And that's one example. You can ferment.
And you can do
anything.
Any vegetables, right?
Yeah, totally. And they don't all have to have the juices released in that same way. You know, there's, and fat there's a if you go to my site and you search for
eatnakednow.com,
yes, eatnakednow.com, and search for probiotic rich fruit leather. There's a really fun recipe for the fruit leather, which is fermented, and it's a great snack for kids. There's also, with that, there's a link to an amazing book. I didn't write it, but colleagues of mine wrote it. Awesome book that's kind of the basics on how to ferment. And they've got really easy recipes in there. So that's a great resource for people.
That's great. Yeah, I just pulled up that. So, yeah, everyone can do that search on your website, eatnakednow.com. So it's important to have probiotics. And, you know, you were talking about just making sure that we're keeping our guts as healthy as we can during this holiday season, when we're probably putting a lot more sugar and treats into our system, which throws us off balance, right? And then of course can have that spiral effect, right? Like, oh, now I don't feel great, I'm not going to run, you know, all that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Probiotics, so, you know, we have this whole ecology living in our digestive tract, and there's beneficial bacteria, so you're kind of the good guys, and then there's some pathogenic bacteria in there, which are the bad guys, and they live in this delicate balance. And sugar feeds the pathogens. They just love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have heard of candida. Candida was all the thing. You know, everyone had candida, you know,
right,
5-10 years ago. It's just a thing. It's a fungus. But candida just thrives on sugar. So why I'm recommending probiotics is that it will help reinforce the good guy, which will help keep the bad guys in check.
Yeah. Well, and that, just to back up what you're saying, that Dr. Perlmutter says that, I mean, they're calling Alzheimer's and other brain and neurological disorders diabetes 3 because they're really fueled and kind of fed by sugar.
Yep, 100%.
And that is crazy, but also really empowering, because it means that our choices, it's more evidence that our choices do make a difference and that we do have a lot more control than we think we do. I think with some of those, you know, with some diseases, we feel like, oh, what can I really do? You know, you're either lucky or you're not. And that's one of the things that I like about your message and messages from doctors like him, because I have to say, when I was thinking about having you on, and I think about, I should just text you every time I think about you, although you'd probably block me as a contact. But when I go to these restaurants and they have, not in San Francisco, but in other parts of the country, because everyone's, you know, pretty evolved here in terms of the food stuff. But like my daughter's in Washington, D.C., and we go to this really nice restaurant there. And the healthy item on the menu is the egg white omelet. And
right.
Like, how do people still not know that you should be eating the yolk and that it matters the way that your chicken's raised, like all this stuff? It still is so shocking to me that people still think fat-free is good instead of, I mean, this is this outrageous idea that you're saying start your day by putting some, you know, oil in your water.
Right.
Right. And people are like, oh no, I'm on a fat-free diet. I'm going to have, you know, an egg white and vegetable omelet and made with Pam, in my nonstick pan. And I used to do that. I know. And I now know why I was hungry 2 hours later.
Yeah.
And why you end up getting in this cycle where then you're grabbing for junk food because you just feel so depleted, right?
Completely. Completely. Well, that, you know, these food myths die hard.
They really do.
And it takes a long time.
Another thing that I found interesting, I love your comment on it because we've discussed it before when you've been on the show, this whole idea of like counting calories and stuff. And in the New York Times this past Sunday, there was an op-ed that discussed how, you know, a lot of states were requiring restaurants to put calorie counts on their menu. I think mostly fast food restaurants. But the research had shown that actually it hadn't helped at all in decreasing obesity, the rate of increase in obesity and overweight people. That and it made me think, well, because it's not just about calories, right? It's really about the food that you're putting in your body. And when you eat the way that you prescribe in your book, Eat Naked, and your cookbook, Eat Naked Cookbook, is making choices about food, and then you're satisfied, you're actually not thinking about, you're no longer thinking about calories. It's not about calories, because your body can so easily process these foods. And you must feel like you're swimming upstream sometimes with your message.
You know, yes and no. There is more, you know, sort of every day there is more awareness that fat is not our enemy, and that it's the quality of what you eat, not the sheer quantity of calories, that really is the most important factor. So there is, the tide is changing. It's slow, mm-hmm. but it is changing. I would say one of the most controversial posts on my site is one where it's called Why Fat Doesn't Make You Fat. And if you read through the comments, people just get vicious with each other.
Really?
This topic. Yeah. So, but really,
that's crazy. Did people get negative with you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, some people think I'm just out of my mind. I've deleted the really harsh comments, but some of people think I'm just out of my mind by suggesting that we eat fat. And it's not that calories don't count. You know, calories, you know, if I sat down and ate 7,000 calories a day, yeah, I'm going to get fat. It doesn't matter what is made up of it, but that's not the point. The point is this demonization of a particular nutrient that happens to be one of the most vital nutrients that we eat. You know, fat is so important for so many reasons.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, it's important for your hormones. It's important for cell structure. It's important for immunity. It's important for brain. It's, and your brain feeds on fat. Sugar is absolutely not its preferred source of fuel. Just as you were talking about with the, you know, type 3 diabetes, also known as Alzheimer's, you know, so it is so, and satiety, like that is such an important piece. That's the thing that people don't realize, that you don't have to count calories when you have a sufficient fat in your diet, good quality fat. So I'm not talking about rancid vegetable oils. I'm not talking about deep fried foods where they've loaded it with, you know, it's rancid, and they've added tons of, you know, like these chemical spices and things where you're going to crave more and more and more. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, butter.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, the fat that's, you know, like a cow that has been raised on grass, you know. I just had a client this morning who's dealing with high cholesterol write to me and say, I don't understand why you're recommending short ribs. And I said, well, let's talk about that, because it's not that, you know, what, you know, I've been hammering in the fact that it's got to be grass-fed and you know, not otherwise. So it's quality that is so critically important. And the thing is when you're eating really good quality food you have enough fat in your diet, you are satiated. So you're not going to end up eating, overeating, or craving the quick starches. Like you're talking about, you have a starchy breakfast, you're going to crave sugar in the middle of the morning. Because that's the fast way to get that energy going. You add some fat and protein to that breakfast, now your energy is nice and smooth all morning long. You don't even think about it.
Right.
So it's interesting. This is a challenge I would love to post to your listeners. you can have a breakfast with, let's say, a couple of scrambled eggs with some veggies and maybe a side of avocado, and cook those eggs in something nice like butter or ghee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a breakfast with some good protein, quite a bit of fat in there with the avocado and the egg yolk and the butter you're cooking it in, and then the veggies. I would bet that you eat that breakfast and you will be satiated until noon. Now, the next day, have the exact same breakfast, except add a piece of toast. What is amazing is that even though you have just increased the number of calories you're eating, you will be hungry earlier. I put money on it. Because of that starch and because of that, the sugar spike and crash effect. It almost doesn't make sense, but it is uncanny how it happens.
No, I mean, that used to happen to me all the time. I mean, I just can't. I mean, I can't do that with the bread, even if it was gluten-free. And then there's also something about it for me that triggers then the desire to have more of that bread, too. Like, it's not, you know, when I have my eggs, like, I'm done. I'm full. I mean, to be honest with you, if I have an early dinner, I often when I have the eggs for breakfast after I've run and stuff, I'm not even hungry until dinner time. And I'm not even thinking about it, as opposed to how it starts to, my mind gets more ruled by the food when I'm adding in the starch that you were talking about.
Exactly. It's really, and that's just, it's such a good example to show that it's not about calories, because if it was about calories, you would be fuller for longer when you added in more. It's about the quality and the source of those calories.
Yeah, and I mean, people are seeing who work with you. Oh, and I would love to mention to people, if you want a great food health coach, Margaret, you're still taking, you take a few clients, right?
I do, yes.
I know you're busy, but get in touch with Margaret, and she does a great job of getting people on track. And are you going to do the sugar detox thing again at the beginning of the year that you've done before?
It's not going to be. Well, we are actually redoing parts of it right now, updating some materials. So it's not going to be ready for the beginning of the year, but we will have a new release of it in probably the early spring.
Oh, okay, great. So what are you revamping about it?
Oh, we're just updating some of the recipes and the videos. It's funny, I did the videos last time I was pregnant.
That's so great. Your video, those videos are so helpful. Those videos are so helpful.
Oh, good. Well, we reshot them, and they're just being edited now, and just updating some of the handouts. And there'll be some new recipes and other things like that along with it. So just kind of making sure everything's nice and fresh.
Oh, my gosh. We ran out of time. Are you kidding? Oh, I have to have – you have to come back. It's so great to talk to you. I love
to
talk to you. Let's – we'll make that plan. Thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge with us. Not all of it. You had so much more to share, but we ran out of time. Have a great rest of the holiday season. All the best to you and your growing family in the new year, Margaret.
Thank you so much, Michelle, and to you as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. You've been listening to Relationships 2.0. My special guest, Margaret Floyd. I will be back next week with another great guest. In the meantime, be well.